episode is brought to you by Horizon Fibroids and our guy, Dr. Will. 80% of us ladies will have a fibroid by the age of 50. That's essentially all of us. And they can start in your late 20s, early 30s, and they can impact your fertility. How do you know if you have a fibroid? Well, many of you have probably been diagnosed already, or you know from severe cramping, heavy periods, periods that last a long time, longer than 7 days at times. It is extremely painful, and lots of times your abdomen can become bloated, kind of getting you to question, like, what's going on? Well, those are all signs that you might have fibroids. Even if you've been diagnosed by your OBGYN, lots of times OBGYNs don't know all the procedures for fibroids, including uterine fibroid embolization, which is a non-surgical, low downtime. Like, they make an incision through your wrist. It's crazy. You need to know your options, and it's covered by insurance. Horizon Fibroids and Dr. Will Neem in Maryland have three locations in Frederick, Rockville, and Gaithersburg. Plus, Dr. Will see and do consultations with patients nationwide if you don't listen to us in the D.C. area or you don't live here. Go to horizonfibroids.com today, make a consultation, and see if he takes your insurance. All right, welcome to the Sarah Fraser Show. Brand new week, already off to a great start yesterday with Ben Higgins, former Bachelor of Bachelor Nation, and we have to get into all that. I'm sure you've seen Chris Harrison, the announcement. He is not returning to The Bachelorette next season. In fact, they're going to have two new, they're not even calling them hosts. I guess they're calling them fill-ins as they wait to see what happens with Chris. I have so many thoughts on this as a new Bachelor Nation fan. A million and one thoughts. We'll talk about that. You guys know I love documentaries, so over the weekend I had to watch Kid 90. I grew up, you know, born in the 80s, a teenager late 90s, early 2000s. So, I watched Punky Brewster and Soleil Moon Frye, who everybody knows. It was Punky Brewster for years. I grew up on Saved by the Bell, loved Mario Lopez, loved Lisa Turtle, loved everybody on the show. Kid 90, I'll give you my review. I watched it over the weekend. I don't know if I'm going through something where I'm just like a nasty critic. I don't know. I guess it must be me. Because I thought this documentary was pure shite. And, you know, people were like making over it and how great it was. And it's a snapshot back of the 90s of huge stars. I don't know. That's my motto. Maybe it's just the pregnancy hormones because I've got only 5 weeks to go before my little guy is delivered. Mwah. That's how I feel. And you guys always want pregnancy updates. So two things. One, we did a wallpapering project. I'll tell you the inside scoop. If you haven't seen it, you need to be following me on my IG at The Sarah Fraser Show because there's a 30-second compilation of Schman doing it. But I will tell you about that. And then also, it's funny. Every once in a while, I get like a question that kind of pops up and I'm like, I should address that more often. And that question that seems to be recurring and not like, everyone comes on and goes, oh, I got tons. People are requesting I do tons of makeup tutorials. Which oddly I do, see, I call bullshit on myself, which oddly I actually do. People do want me to do that, which I find hysterical because I actually love hiring people to do my makeup. I'm not really a makeup pro. I've just had to become better at it because of COVID. But there's a question that's popped up in my DMs on Instagram relatively frequently now, and it's, hey, I wish you would share more about your story of how you decided that you wanted to become a mom, because I'm a woman in my 30s, I'm very career focused, and I really want you to talk about that more. And I'm like, interesting. I didn't think that of all the things that I've said over the years, that one, or even about my pregnancy journey, that one stood out. But I will share with you how I knew that I wanted to be a mom after completely being a career woman and basically being on radio and TV on record numerous times saying I would never have kids. What switched? I will share that with you. Before I get into all that, I want to thank another sponsor, Ballston Bid. Love them. If you're in the DC region, you need to explore Ballston in Arlington, Virginia. This area is so hot right now and it's open for business. They're taking all the precautions through COVID. 80 restaurants in a 5-block radius. If you're getting ready to celebrate St. Patrick's Day this week, go party there. They have amazing bars and restaurants, including Copa Kitchen Bar, which is a soccer bar. You can get a blowout too at Dry Bar, South Block, I'm obsessed with their smoothies, yes, and their acai bowls. And of course, you can shop. Macy's is open there as well as a bunch of other boutiques. Don't miss it. If you're looking to see what's going on in Ballston, they just opened an awesome Vita Spa and, of course, gym. You should go there. I love Vita. I'm obsessed. BallstonVA.org is the website, and you can follow them on Instagram at Ballston. Bid. I'm bringing in Schman for this segment on The Bachelor because Schman and I watched The Bachelor together for the very first time this season. I don't know why we never watched before, but we never got into it. And then I think with quarantine, every week we're like, what do we listen to? What's to watch? So I always love, and you guys do too, Schman's thoughts on shows. And like, I one of the reasons I married him, I love to debate and talk about things. I always learn something from Schman. So Schman, you have to weigh in on The Bachelor season finale last night. Schman, I had to bring you back. You're back by popular demand.
Great to be back as always.
I was saying earlier when I was trying to hook up the mics, sometimes when I embrace you, it's like you look off into space that it's almost like, oh, has she moved on yet?
Is that what we're this is like Jerry Springer crap right here. I thought you brought me on to talk about The Bachelor and now you're...
I did. I just like to talk about our relationship too. Fine. Okay, The Bachelor. So this is the first season that you and I have watched, mm-hmm. and there's been so much controversy, obviously, about this. Matt James, the first Black Bachelor, Chris Harrison, obviously, last night for the final rose. He did not return because of his defense of Rachel Kirkconnell. Rachel Kirkconnell. Okay, where do you want to start? Because I always love all your opinions. Last night, it's always so funny to watch with you, your comment about when, was it Michelle,
mm-hmm.
gave Matt James the custom jerseys, and instantly you could tell he was not into it. And then your comment was, that sucks, because custom jerseys
are those hard. Custom jerseys aren't cheap, you know, because like the jerseys, and then you got to print them, and the thing is, once they're customized, you can't return them. So she's probably out at least $100, my guess, because you have printing on the front and the back, plus the jersey, they were probably $75 each.
Comment. What were your over? I gotta tell you, I'm kind of. Is anyone else drained by this season? I'm just like, I'm over it.
Drained and lackluster. It seemed like even the end, just the ending of the episode where it was, I want to be with you, but I'm not going to give you a ring. That kind of seemed anticlimactic. And then, of course, the after the rose didn't seem to resolve much. It just kind of just was like,
well, it was really about, hey, Rachel, are you going to put the work in to learn about, you know, what you did, you know, which, okay, but it wasn't very, well, I'll say this. I liked Emmanuel Acho.
So do I.
I actually really enjoyed him.
I enjoyed him too much. And frankly, as impressive as he was, I need bland Chris Harrison in my life.
Do you see The Bachelor? I almost think they do like they team those two up, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like Chris and Emmanuel.
That would
do you
be
think?
Quite a tag team right there. What if they cast them as a buddy cop team and they gave them their own spinoff show? That would be something. No, I thought he did a great job of hosting. But again, you know, there's nothing like the bland indifference of Chris Harrison.
You know, Matt James, you and I talked about, and I always love your thoughts on people and race and all those things. You know, he has an impossible job as the first Black Bachelor, right? I mean, tons of scrutiny. You know, he obviously dumped her over those pictures. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised to hear that? I actually thought they would try to work it out.
No, I guess I was surprised in one sense, but at the same time, I don't think it's... There has to be some kind of adjustment period once you're out of the fantasy of living on The Bachelor, right? Where you have these preconceived dates and experiences, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, hey, we live together now, or we have to go function in the real world. And I got the impression that Matt James liked the idea of being on The Bachelor rather than being The Bachelor.
I do too. I mean, I thought you made a good point, and I actually really agree with this. I think in the end, I don't think Matt was wild about any of them, really.
No, I think Matt, I was trying to think about the right analogy, and this takes me back to when I went before my plant-based days. It's like going to a Brazilian steakhouse. It sounds great in theory. Hey, we're going to eat all the meat we want. It's going to be awesome. And then you get there and you eat all the meat you want. And you're like, oh, I feel terrible now. I think Matt James liked the idea of being on The Bachelor more than actually being The Bachelor. And he never was really into any of the women.
Yeah, it was fairly awkward the whole season, really. Because I thought it was pretty obvious on his face. Like, he wasn't. And look, I'll say this. I've said it from the beginning. Sarah Trott, the girl who her father is, mm-hmm. you know, battling ALS and is passing away from that. The one woman I think he was into was her. And then when she kind of, you know, obviously she had other family issues, she couldn't stay.
She went off the deep end, but she was under pressure. But yeah, I mean, it's yeah.
That was the only person I thought he had any connection with, but the rest of them, yeah.
It's all artificial, and I'm amazed that whatever percentage of bachelorette couples that end up together stay together. I'm amazed at that percentage because I don't think any of that's real. I think once you get out of that environment, unless you have some level of sanity in your life, I'm not sure how anyone survives that.
Okay, so, you know, I think you and I are in agreement. I do think they'll bring back Chris Harrison mm-hmm. at some point. They're going to do 2 seasons of The Bachelorette. We learned that Katie and Michelle are going to be the new Bachelorettes. Mm-hmm. Will we continue watching? Like, do you have any interest to continue watching after this?
What I The Bachelor, to me, that show in our first experience, is the ultimate white noise television. And maybe that's a bad choice of words, but it's perfect in the sense of you can put it on and not really pay attention. You can scroll your phone. You can do the dishes. You can fold laundry.
And you don't have to pay attention at all.
You don't really have to pay attention. And there'll be something that's said or done. You'll be like, oh my gosh, let's go back and rewatch that. And there's something, I guess, a communal element of it, of there are millions of other people who feel the same way, and you get to, I mean, there isn't a lot of appointment television anymore, so I think that carries some of it, and it's fun to see what other people have to say or react to with it. I'll give it one more chance, but I don't feel like my life was changed by watching this show.
Oh, me neither. I mean, me neither. And really, in the end, you're like, was it that good? It really wasn't that good.
No,
really.
I don't think so. I think there are, you know, I'd much rather take the hour or two, well, really 2 hours of watching The Bachelor and maybe read a book instead. But at the same time, you know, how else am I going to learn about, you know, Matt James making out with his eyes open and, you know,
I liked
rubbing,
Michelle,
rubbing thighs.
Oh my God. When he rubbed his mom's thighs and that he really does. And even with Rachel, after they'd broken up, he looked at her thighs
yeah.
when they were sitting down.
Yeah,
like he was ready.
He thought about it. He's like, I just spent like, you know, 2 months rubbing women's thighs. Is that, do I do that again?
Yeah. Could I do this one more time and it not look like we're not having a very serious conversation
yeah.
here? Where do you think like Rachel Kirkconnell just fades off into the sunset at this point? I mean, because it was a lot of focus last night, obviously, was on her antebellum pictures, her Confederate flag mm-hmm. pictures. I thought Emmanuel did a great job addressing that. You had said, and I think it's true, she was obviously very well coached. You know, she was well prepared of mm-hmm. what to answer. I mean, it was super awkward for sure.
Yeah, I don't think anyone anticipates going on a reality show and then having your life exposed. And I think that for me, with racism, it comes down to hatred or ignorance. And for her, I think it was ignorance. And
right.
and for individuals who fall in that ignorant category, it takes some level of experience, something to occur in your life for it to change, whether it's experiencing something or educating yourself. And it sounds, you know, for what she said, she's doing all the things that she needs to do to change that ignorance. And I think that's what most people who don't believe there is this level of systemic oppression or racism that exists needs to do. And that's how change occurs. And change, unfortunately, takes time. And that's what kind of we talked about the conversation. Like, this is, I don't think, the conversation most people on who tune into The Bachelor wanted to hear.
Right.
But it's an opportunity for them to hear it. And those are the small steps that are needed. Well, little wins.
That was what I was. Okay. Well, that's a good point. I was going to say to you, what do you think? Because, you know, The Bachelor's like in crisis, right? About, and it is shameful, I think. It's been 20 years. The show started in 2002. Mm-hmm. And it took until 2021 to have a Black Bachelor. That's like, that's really insane that people didn't. But I'm assuming for the most part, their audience, their viewership is just white. So here's the thing. Do you think they really change? Like, do you think they really try to be more integrated, or do you think they lean into their whiteness?
Well, if The Bachelor was on Fox News, they would lean into it. And they, Tucker Carlson would be the new host. But I think, you know, I think a lot of parent companies like Disney, which owns ABC,
sure,
which produces The Bachelor, are committed to making these types of choices and changes. So hopefully they can continue down this track and making shows more inclusive and diverse.
I know. And I think I want that, too, because I mean, for what the show is, right, which is basically fluff, I thought Matt James was a good bachelor. I mm-hmm. mean, he's cheesy, you know, but I mean, they all kind of are, you know, that's what the show is.
We'll find out. We'll find out as we keep watching The Bachelorette and The Bachelor.
All right. Well, I always love having you on and having your thoughts.
Oh, it's so great to be on. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Can't wait to come back for another return engagement.
Wow, the enthusiasm here is not great.
You know, I'm still, I got a couple other shows to be on today, so I'm, you know.
Okay, well, this
I'm
is what I was
talking
about.
I'm glad I could squeeze you in.
It's like when I embrace you and you're sort of like faded off. Now,
well, it's
like
been great. I appreciate all the time that we've had today. Looking forward to being back here again.
Okay. The other big story I've been dying to talk about is J-Lo and A-Rod. Are they together? Are they not? I mean, I've been following this all weekend. I'm not surprised about this one. I mean, I sort of figured this was coming after we saw Madison LaCroix, you know, from Southern Charm, that she and the reunion had, they'd all insinuated that it was A-Rod pretty quickly after that reunion. It was circulating, then it was confirmed by her castmate, Danny. So I kind of saw this coming fairly quickly. And also, do we forget, like, A-Rod cheated on his wife with strippers. A-Rod has been A-Rod has been a player forever. Why are we shocked? I guess I'm more shocked at the sense of, and I just really want to like be friends with these people because I'm so curious. Is Jennifer Lopez addicted to just high profile men? Because she can't have a relationship work either. Ben Affleck, P. Diddy, it didn't work. You know, she married Chris Judd. Mark Anthony was my favorite. I really think she should have stayed with Mark Anthony. I do. I think Mark Anthony adored her. They were still a power couple, but I feel like Mark Anthony didn't outshine her. I don't think A-Rod outshines her either. But A-Rod, we just all know A-Rod's a dog. I mean, he's a complete dog. I hear the rumor that Jennifer Lopez has already moved on with Lenny Kravitz. Girl, what? What? Okay, let's give it like, let's just grab a cup of coffee before we go meet up with Lenny. They're filming a movie together. They're shooting Shotgun Wedding is the film. And sources say they've already been getting very, very close. Now, A-Rod, they're denying A-Rod and J-Lo at this point that they are broken up. And I'm going to tell you my theory. I love speculating and rumors. My theory is I think they're actually trying to really, really work it out for the kids. I really do. I think they're trying to work it out. J-Lo was reportedly very embarrassed by the Madison LaCroix thing. And, you know, there's even rumors he flew Madison private jet to New York, made her sign an NDA. Even a model, a Playboy British model, came out and said that just days before he started dating Jennifer Lopez, that he wanted sex videos from her. It's like, J-Lo had to have known this stuff was going on, right? Zoe Gregory is her name. She says he was asking for videos even after he was with J-Lo. I mean, you've got to know a guy like A-Rod with a past, right? And A-Rod's not a spring chicken. This isn't someone 25 who's like going to emotional couples therapy getting better. This dude is in his late 40s. He's a cheater. He's a steroid abuser. I mean, hello, like what makes you think he's going to be transparent with you? I do, however, you guys all saw, my theory is, you know, you saw J-Lo's daughter, Emmy, with Mark Anthony crying on her IG story. And she made some comment like when, you know, when they're down, like mommy and daddy are there. I do hear from sources that J-Lo's kids and A-Rod, who has two daughters, they had all become very, very close, which has to be difficult because 4 years, they were with each other all the time. They were with each other through quarantine for the most part. I think that weighs very heavily on somebody with a kid when they become attached to someone you're dating or like someone you're dating's children. It has to be so hard. So, you know, the experience I have, of course, was dating a guy, an older guy who had two kids. Were they attached to me? I don't think so. I mean, they were probably happy to see me go. You know, I think they were finally like, okay, dad, why were you dating somebody 14 years younger who was a train wreck? You know, but if you have a tight relationship, they're probably very sad to see you go. So I think they're trying to work it out. I ultimately do not think this is going to work. I think somebody with her being such an icon, it's very difficult to find a relationship that can stick, especially with another high-profile guy. Do you think Chris Judd is still available? I want her to go back to him. People were saying, oh, you know, they were, Ben Affleck was trending and they wanted Bennifer back. Are you kidding? My God, I mean, he's addicted to the tables at Vegas and they've been closed for like 6 months. The guy's waiting outside the door at the Wynn to gamble. I mean, he's a notorious gambler, also a cheater. Like, I mean, what? She's 50. J-Lo's 50. Like, I want to counsel her, okay? Let's take a year hiatus. Let's just take a girl's year, like hot girl year. Okay, give ourselves a break. She doesn't like to be alone, though, apparently. Lenny Kravitz, they say, is a player as well. I'm sure he is. We don't hear anything about Lenny Kravitz because he's probably from one model to the next. One model vag to the next model vag. Anyhow, I know when you're that big of a celebrity, nobody tells you no, but if I were in J-Lo's circle, I'd be like, girl, pump the brakes. Like, we're going to hang in Miami. You know, we're going to have a little margarita. I know you don't drink that much, but you're going to sip on this for like the next 6 months and just chill out. Let's do some soul searching here. Anyway, I was following all that drama. The other news too is Harry and Meghan and the Oprah interview continues to trend. I have loved all the memes, all the videos. And now sources are saying that Meghan Markle is planning a presidential run. Okay, here's another. I feel like the gossip this week is so asinine. Are you fucking kidding? She's 100%, according to the Post, meeting with political analysts to talk about a run for president in 2024 on the Democratic ticket if Joe Biden doesn't run again. Can we start? Like, does anyone start just at like city council? I mean, how come we've already had this train wreck of a celebrity president? You know, I'm trying to think of who else. I guess Stone Cold Steve Austin went into like local politics. Arnold Schwarzenegger at least was the California governor. Okay. And then, of course, not an American citizen. So he couldn't run for president. Meghan Markle, obviously American citizen. How about just try to become the mayor of Los Angeles? Can we do that? Like run for that first and see if you can get into politics. I am all for a female president. I want it. But I'm looking for like Marianne Williamson, like somebody evolved that like is going to meditate us through, you know, all of our foreign crises, but also has some life experience. I like Meghan Markle a lot. I'm not voting for your ass for president. I'm not like, what is with, can't we get anybody? But she's got the money. She's got the profile. Apparently she felt like the interview with Oprah did very well. So now she's poised to go to politics. I mean, how about just, where do they live? Like Santa Barbara or Montecito? How about become like, you know, the trash delivery, you know, like city council head of garbage disposal? Like, run for that first. Like, let's get that going and learn like the inner politics before we just jump to president. You probably also saw Prince William out for a photo op with the royal family. And so many things have imploded from this interview. I mean, Piers Morgan quitting his job. Sharon Osbourne probably on the verge of quitting the talk after defending him and then feeling like she was being called a racist. So many people have lost their jobs over this. It's like, okay, is it just me or does everyone need to breathe here as we all get vaccinated and the world reopens, you know? J-Lo and A-Rod, let's just take a little break, you know? Sharon Osbourne, let's just sip some tea as well. Piers Morgan, like, let's just everybody pump the brakes, okay? Meghan Markle, let's reassess this political thing. Everyone is on 100, losing their jobs over this interview. But Prince William has denied that they are a racist family. He was out in England. He said, we're very much not a racist family. Kate Middleton appeared. I guess a lot of you who are true crime fans have probably been following the Sarah Everard murder that's happened in London. A cop has been arrested for it. I really haven't gotten into it. You guys know I kind of have a love-hate relationship with true crime. So I haven't read too much into it. But Kate Middleton went to her. There was kind of a memorial held, showed up there. How ironic. I love this. Got a new podcast for you to listen to. Yes, I do. It's the Dr. John Delaney Show. Schman and I were actually playing a clip from Dr. John's podcast because he was doing the topic of are youth travel sports ruining families? Well, Dr. John Delaney has over 20 years of sitting with families and dealing with hurting people and mental health issues. He has a PhD in counseling. Delaney walks alongside real people as they navigate tough decisions. And this is actually something that I really enjoy about his show. It's caller-driven. I feel like I'm going to have to get a caller-driven show, Dr. John. I love this. Anyway, listen to the Dr. John Delaney Show wherever you get your podcast, or you can follow the link in the description of this podcast episode. I always make it very, very easy to find my sponsors and people that I partner with. So start downloading and listening today to the Dr. John Delaney podcast. Enjoy. Hero Breads. Oh my gosh. Chef's kiss. Do you love carbs? I'm obsessed. Give me a croissant. Give me a tortilla, baby, every day, slathered with some hummus. Yes, please. And then a lot of veggies, a little turkey burger in it. Okay. That's my own proprietary sandwich. Thanks. Hero Breads right now offering 10% off. Go to hero.co. Enter the promo code TSFS. You are getting 10% off. Now, Hero Bread is so delicious and flavorful, soft, fluffy. In fact, so fluffy that KJ loves it slathered with butter and cinnamon every day. They're known for their products to have 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, zero sugar, and high in fiber. So what are you waiting for? Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code TSFS at checkout. That's TSFS at hero.co. Had no mask on. Get your fucking COVID mask. Get your mask on, goddammit. Shows up there to pay her respects. So people had mixed feelings about that. Like she never would have done it except for this interview is out. I, for one, you know, like I really don't care. I'm more interested in the fact that it is hard to capture people's attention, period, in an era of nonstop social media. But the fact that Oprah has done that and Meghan and Harry for the past 7-10 days. I'm fascinated by that. And more than 60 million people have viewed that interview. My mom did. Mama Frage did. She called me up immediately. She was like, what'd you think? I was like, the only part I didn't believe, like I told everyone, I don't believe her that she didn't know, like she didn't know who Harry was and what she was kind of getting into. I just don't believe that part. I love television. There's so much to watch this week. Married at First Sight tomorrow night, 8 p.m. on TLC, not on TLC, on Lifetime. It's my favorite show. But I think that's one of the best TV shows out there right now. The couples, I'm obsessed. Chris and Paige, poor Paige. Paige is giving me J-Lo vibes. Like we're desperate, we need a man, we're hanging around, even though we know he's a dog. It's so good. Ryan and Clara, I mean, what is going on? Will he finally fuck her? I mean, poor Clara. She's here on national TV. I mean, she's trying to do anything to suck his dick. And he's like, you know, can we wait one more week? I'm really not sure my emotions. J Just do it already. Like, let's just like do it. And then if halfway through you don't like my vagina, like we could pull out. I mean, something. Some other things to look forward to. Baketopia is coming to HBO. If you are a fan of baking shows, this is supposed to be the new hot baking competition show. I'll check it out. March 25th. And Rosanna Pansino is the host. She's a YouTube star. This chick has 12 million YouTube subscribers. I never heard of her a day in my life. Ro Pansino is her name. And she just like bakes all this shit and she's hosting it. Girl, I ain't ever heard of you, but you got a huge following. I guess everything's good. Also, yesterday, March 15th, The Last Blockbuster, the Netflix, is on Netflix, and it's about the last Blockbuster store in Alaska. Apparently, too, they're going to reveal that Blockbuster had a chance to buy Netflix like 20 years ago and passed. How much are you regretting that? And now they got one franchise left. So there's another one. And of course, this weekend, Genius Aretha is out on Hulu, March 21st, about Aretha Franklin. I can't wait to dive into that. I also watched over the weekend Kid 90, which is Soleil Moonfry, who was Punky Brewster, her documentary. Soleil Moonfry now is 44 years old, a mom of four. And like I said, there was a lot of talk about this because what was so fascinating and the big hook is Soleil Moonfry, the entire time she was Punky Brewster, she filmed and documented everything. She was a documentarian before we even knew what documentaries were, really. So she was, and every famous person in Hollywood that you know now is essentially in the documentary, which that part is cool. You see a young Leo DiCaprio, Mark Paul Gosselaar, Brian Austin Green, Charlie Sheen, House of Pain's Danny Boy, Kevin Connolly from Entourage. You see Sarah Gilbert, who of course was famous in Roseanne. So many A-list actors now were back hanging out with her. And you're like, oh damn, okay. That like they all hung out together. Like they didn't think anything of it. Mario Lopez. It's pretty amazing. So that part I have to say is good, but the documentary really does not. It talks about how they like did drugs, you know, all of them. Okay, well, we know that about Charlie Sheen. She lost her virginity to Charlie Sheen when she was 18 years old. I thought that part of the documentary was impressive that she could actually like, that she stayed celibate in that crazy Hollywood world until 18. That was pretty amazing. It didn't do much for me. Like, I wanted to see, like, the progression of her career. You know, her career did kind of fall off because she had, she started developing really young. So she's Punky Brewster. She's really cute. And then at 13, she gets these massive boobs. And then everywhere she goes, you know, people are calling her Punky Boobster, you know? And so I'm sure that was dramatic. She gets a breast reduction back in, like, the 90s when people really didn't do that. But her career never really takes off again. So we never get to explore that. We don't get to explore like her current husband, her kids, like her reflection of Hollywood. It's more just like a ode to this footage that she carried around for, you know, the past 25 or 30 years, which is interesting sort of, but also like, I wanted to hear more about, and it was like them all hanging out like good times and getting rejected for roles. Okay, that, sure. But like, let's talk about the struggle. Like, why was it so difficult to reinvent yourself from a child actor to a legit actress? Did you really want to do it? Why didn't your family just like pull you out of it? What was the psychological part? You know, I mean, and why not give yourself more credit? You're 44 and you actually made it out of Hollywood. Alive. Like, that's pretty impressive. But we don't really get in. She doesn't really get into anything like about her current life, you know, just really about, and it is, you know, you do see some celebrities who passed away from drug overdoses because she does talk about that, you know, how they were into drugs and experimenting. So that part was, I thought, good, but it just, it was background noise for me. I can't say that I recommend it. And I mean, I like her a lot. And I think over the years, you know, she's become much more of a mom influencer. You see her in People magazine, all those good things. But I didn't love it. But you can see it, Kid 90, it's out now. It's on Netflix if you want to watch it. Certainly a young Leonardo DiCaprio, Brian Austin Green, they were all fascinating to watch, that part, for sure. I want to thank one last sponsor, and then I'll talk to you guys about some pregnancy news updates that people wanted to hear about. Ed Ball is a top landscape architect in Northern Virginia. Are you thinking about redoing your backyard? Are you wondering what shrubbery would be great? I am. I need to buy a house, and then I really want to redo my yard. Anyway, or maybe you're thinking about putting in a pool. Well, he's your guy. You need to check out Ed Ball right now. He has thousands of followers, by the way, on Facebook and on his Instagram for his beautiful landscape architecture work that he does in Northern Virginia. You can follow him on Instagram, it's Ed Ball, or you can go to his website, landscapearchitecturenorthernvirginia.com. Just Google Ed Ball as well. He is a top architect for your outdoor landscape in the Northern Virginia area, and he's even doing consultations via video to deal with COVID, or you can meet him outside on one of these gorgeous days we've had and team up with Ed. He's amazing, and he'll transform your yard. If you don't believe me, check out his Instagram and see all the amazing before and after shots that he has created for people in all price points. You will love him. Go to It's Ed Ball on Instagram. Check out his Instagram today, and then you can find out more by visiting his website, landscapearchitectnorthernvirginia.com. So my own pregnancy journey, I'm 5 weeks away from welcoming our first child ever. We're having a little boy, as you guys know and follow. I cannot wait to meet him. I've said this on my IG story. I have had, knock on wood, like, thank you, God, the best pregnancy. It's been super easy. I've actually had really great energy the second trimester, the third trimester. Like, I just have had no problems. You know, just I haven't had bad, like, a couple nights here and there, some acid reflux, but nothing insane. I had morning sickness, like, briefly at the beginning. It's been a joyous, joyous experience with my little guy, okay? However, the last 5 weeks, it is a slog. Like, I'm getting to the point of, okay, like, at 39 weeks, I'm ready. Like, I'm ready for him to come. We don't have to hold out any longer, okay? I'm ready for you to be here. I'm ready to lay on my back. I'm ready to lay on my side and not have my hip fall asleep. And I'm ready to just, you know, be able to bend down and feel like I can comfortably get back up without, like, looking to brace myself or find a cane. You know? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, people have been asking me all about my journey. I love sharing it. This weekend, Siobhan and I wallpapered a wall for our little guy. We live in a one-bedroom apartment. You know, we were planning to buy a house. COVID struck. Y'all know I want to move to Los Angeles. COVID struck. And Lord, you can't even get into a U-Haul. I mean, I don't even think there's a U-Haul store open there to, like, haul your shit. You know, it's been so locked down. So we're living out in Leesburg in Virginia. We love Leesburg. We're having so much fun. I'm adapted to the suburbs. I like this quieter lifestyle. And we're going to try to keep our little guy in our bedroom. How do you think this is going to go? I give it, like, 1 month until we move him to the breakfast nook. That's, like, what I kind of feel like. But we wallpapered a wall with this dinosaur wallpaper that you guys voted on over the weekend. And it actually came out pretty well. There's some, definitely Shemana never wallpapered before. And you guys know men. You know, this is what I love about men. Like, they all, like, love, like, once they have a project, to, like, have ownership over the project. They don't really want to be told what to do. It's just, it's so funny. There's some things about guys that, like, transcend every man. So he wanted to do this project. And, you know, there's some parts that don't line up where I tried to give him some advice on wallpapering. And, you know, he sort of half took it. But overall, it looks so freaking cute. I'm glad we went with the blue dinosaurs. Peel and stick wallpaper is the most genius fucking invention ever. I can't believe I didn't come up with it. It is so easy to put on. It's so easy to take off. It adheres great. If you want to see the whole video, at the Sarah Fraser Show on Instagram, it's up. We had a ball doing it. We only had one tense moment where it all, like, balled up. And Shman was, like, huffing and puffing and, you know, holding it up. And he was just like, you know, I mean, does it need to be this hard? It's like, well, Shman, this is the first time that you've wallpapered, so let's just pump the brakes. And then, of course, I'm doing social media the whole time. And he's like, do you need to be doing social media? Yes, I do. It's my fucking job. Have you, like, looked at me in the past 6 years? Yes. We got it done. But the thing that I wanted to talk about, because I'm transparent with my life, all the good, the bad, the mistakes I've made, everything, because I seriously, if you can learn something from me and not make my mistakes, or if it's just comforting to hear, oh, someone else has been through it, but also, you know, has gotten to the brighter side of it, I'm happy to. I love doing that. I love hearing those stories from other people, and I like sharing them. So recently in my inbox, or just in some podcast interviews I've done, women have said to me, how did you know that you, what changed in you that you wanted kids? Because you were pretty outspoken that you did not want a child. You didn't know that you were going to get married. You know, you were focused on your career, which is all true. And when I was on the radio, I always used to say that I'd be like the Angelina Jolie of Rockville, Maryland, because that's where Hot 99.5 radio stations were. I was like, I'm just going to adopt a bunch of kids. I'm not having my own. I'm not carrying one. And like, that's it. So for me, what changed was twofold. One was turning the age of 35. For whatever reason, I never believed people. Some people would say to me when I was younger, like, oh, it's a biological thing. You're all of a sudden your biological clock will kick in. And I thought, oh, that's such bullshit. Like, you know, we have choices now. Thanks. You know, I mean, back when you had no choice, I'm sure at some point your biological clock kicked in. But those bitches were right. When I hit 35, it was like all of a sudden I had never looked at, like, I have to do a spoof video because I was the woman on an airplane staring down a mom. This happened when I flew from New York to Aruba. This woman had like her child, her baby on the plane. The fucking kid cried the entire 4 hours. I swear to God, I stared her down like, bitch, we are all trying to enjoy our trip to Aruba, get our flip-flops on, and your kid has not shut the fuck up for 4 hours. Now I think to myself, I'm going to totally be that bitch. Like, I'm that woman. My son will be on there just like crying it out. I'll be whipping out a tit, doing everything I can, trying to give everyone little shots, you know, to like apologize. So when I turned 35, definitely a biological change. I really wanted kids. I started to look at kids like, oh my God, that must be so sweet to have a family. And I think too, what I would say to people career-wise to women is I've seen this happen to a lot of women. And I feel like one of the things that I've always been grateful for is maybe being able to like read people or see full circle, I think, what situations are like. And I've seen a lot of women who have dedicated their lives to their careers. And it's worked out, but it hasn't worked out, I think, entirely the way they thought. And there's almost this like disappointment or sadness or regret of putting their family and prioritizing a child and a healthy marriage or partnership on the back burner. And one example of that, who I really liked, and I, you know, adore Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac, but she's spoken really openly about this and it resonated with me. And she always says one of her greatest regrets is she let the music producer Jimmy Iovine years ago tell her, you don't want a kid. You can't have a child and succeed in the music business. And she took that advice and it's one of her greatest regrets. And I thought, I really, once Dan and I got together and then really started going to emotional couples therapy and worked on our relationship, and I realized like how just amazing Dan was and supportive he was. And, you know, truly Dan does so much in our household and really values my career and wants to come to the table as a 50-50 partner. I'm like, I have a gift here. You know, a lot of men don't want to do that, which I think is why it's hard to date a guy who, you know, makes $450,000, $500,000 a year. He doesn't want to be a stay-at-home father. And Schman really like was like, I would be a stay-at-home dad. I would help, like, or I would pull back my career to help your career and watch the kids. I'm like, I have such a gift to an opportunity to do this, to have a family, to have like the child or kids that I want, and also build a career. And then, of course, I'm trying to convince Schman to basically get into the podcasting and entertainment business with me and just like do a show. But anyway, I'm working on that for you guys. Those were the two big things. I think listening to other women who, and I do, I have some older women in my life too, who never had kids and are very grateful for that. Like uncles. I know a lot of gay men that listen to this show and a lot of gay couples, they now want kids. My gunkles will tell you to this day, they are so glad to be gunkles and they never wanted children. And they have great relationships with myself, my brother, my other cousins. And they are so thrilled that they did not have kids. So it is a personal preference, but I think if you have, it's definitely like a yearning, I would say, that I felt after 35, I would see kids and families and I'd be like, wow, that seems like so much fun. And not only that, but I was like, I really love Schman and I really think we'd have a great time together creating this family and making it fun and making it less stressful. Now, of course, we can revisit this conversation in 3 years when my baby is like 3 years old and I have another one. And then I'm like, why the fuck am I doing this? Headed towards 40. I mean, you know, so it could change. But I would say do it. And if you are on the fence, I have some girlfriends too that message me. I'm on the fence about doing fertility treatments. I'm not sure. Do it. If you have a curiosity, I would 100% do it, especially if you have a supportive partner. I will say that having Schman be willing to be a 50-50 parent, and it's not always going to be 50-50, which when you're in therapy, you find that out. Our therapist always says it's like, imagine you two are always carrying around a backpack filled with 80 pounds in rocks. Sometimes it's on my backpack, sometimes it's on my back, sometimes it's on Schman's, sometimes we're carrying it together. So it's not always going to be 50-50. But I think if you have a partner who wants children as well, which Dan does, and then is willing to meet you halfway and prioritizes your career and your wants, and you guys have good communication, I think it's possible. And I definitely, the biological clock part is true too. So I'm all for it. I would say jump in. And I would also say not to be afraid of, or always consider the source, because I think if I had listened to all the women, and you know, certainly every woman has different experiences with pregnancy, but a lot of the things that people put out there online, none of that has ever happened to me. Like, I've had such a positive experience, you know, carrying this baby. And yes, I know delivery is not going to be easy. But I think too, don't be afraid of what you hear, because there's also, for whatever reason right now in our society, any like good stories or just like normal bland stories never get carried or picked up. And mine is definitely, my pregnancy, thank God, was uneventful. Now, y'all know I had the molar pregnancy before. That was like too much eventful, you know, too eventful. But this one has been so joyous and so, I haven't had any of the problems that a lot of people have told me about. So that's sort of how I knew I wanted to have a kid. And I would say definitely the joy of COVID for me has been, I have been able to be home, be more relaxed, not be on my feet. Certainly isn't easy if you're, and especially if you're over 35, like I would say to women, if less than 35 would be great, because then you can be on your feet a lot more. Getting to the point these past couple weeks, if I was going into a job every day, I mean, I probably would consider getting a rascal. Like, it's a little challenging. So anyway, you can always hit me up on IG. People seem to like to DM me, which is great, at the Sarah Fraser Show. You can put it there. All right, everybody, brand new episode back tomorrow. Love you. Bye, everybody.